spider can. Spins a web any size. Catches thieves just like flies. Look out!
And now, fellow geeks and geekettes, your very own host for the evening, Mr. CJ Poe.
And welcome to Comic Geek IO issue 12. I am your host, the King of Geeks, Mr. CJ Boat, and joining me this week, finally, after a bunch of issues that we are having, the host of the Retro Collective podcast, a co-host of the Wild podcast appears, and the guy who should feel really, really bad about liking Damian Wayne, PJ Stanton. Hello, sir.
Yay! Hello.
How art thou?
Thou art good. I've been reading a lot of books and just trying to get some time to actually talk about them.
We have been working on this for like a month now.
It's ridiculous.
Schedules and more schedules. It's great having you on. I appreciate you being here.
Happy to be here.
And let's go ahead and move into the show then. So before we start talking about what we've been reading, because we're going to tackle that the first half of the show, just want to bring up a little bit of news, because frankly, this was finally organized yesterday and I didn't put together any proper news. I am doing comic reviews now on Geek.io at geek-io.com for those who have been following along. I've posted a couple of them over there. And I'm also doing, with PJ, the Comic Collective little article type thing over at awpa.co. So you can find my stuff at both those sites. It's going to be different stuff on each site. I'm going to try and do at least one for each site every week. So it's two reviews from me, and then this show every whenever the hell we can get to it. Which I apologize if you're a fan of the show. It's been a rough last month. So I apologize. Now PJ's snarky articles will also be up at AWPA as well. So, but he's super snarky. So
yes.
All right, now avoiding made. You know what? Forget this. For this episode and only this episode, we're going to issue a full blown spoiler warning on the entire show. So if you don't like spoilers at all, don't listen or come back later. I'll put a link in the show notes of all the comics that we reviewed and talked about. So if you read any of those, you can come back and look at what we've said about said comic books. So what have you been reading, sir?
Well, this was a very, very big week in comics. You had Superman Batman number one. You had Larfleeze number one. You had tons of books. I've been just pouring over everything. The Last of Us issue 3.
Oh.
And I had such a large, large pull this week. My girlfriend actually yelled at me in the comic shop because my bill came to like $40.
Nice.
I've been reading just about everything. Yeah.
Yeah, my wife has looked at me funny a couple times because of the amount of books that I've pulled. Because I've actually pulled a few that I don't normally pull, like one I'm going to discuss later.
Mm-hmm.
I've pulled a book twice now, and I just did it because I randomly just like picking books and reading them. So
yeah, I mean, if you don't, how are you going to find something new?
Exactly. And, you know, I've kind of avoided this particular book for a while now. So since you decided not to put the book that we're reviewing in the notes, I don't know what not to.
I was allowed to do that?
Yes. I don't know what to tread upon or what to not tread upon.
All right.
God damn it. So let's bring up the big.
We can look about just about. You saw the article I posted. That was books I read this week.
Let's take a step back. What, last week I think it came out, and your many rants about this book, The Age of Ultron number 10 came out. What, last week I think it was? Yeah, last week. Which made you real happy.
What, really? Oh, I don't even want to mention really.
it's kind of a big thing, dude.
Why that book was just
so. I brought up how strong Age of Ultron started. And also brought up that I still don't know if it's supposed to be fully canonical or if, like, say, the deaths that happened in Age of Ultron are going to take place in the rest of the universe.
I want to say it's canonical because you have it spinning into its own new book with Avengers AI.
Yes.
And it seems the events lead into Galactus entering the Ultimate universe, and you have now have Angela in canon. So yes, I would call Age of Ultron a canonical book.
So then we have to count out Luke Cage, She-Hulk, Red She-Hulk, and somebody else died in the book.
Oh, which one of the timelines was that?
That's exactly my point. I don't know if the deaths that took place in that, because in the book, the Luke Cage that died, he had hair.
Well, that was the Defenders universe, wasn't it? With Morgana Le Fay and...
Yeah, but who's saying that that's not canonical? Who's to say that that's not going to ripple and the Luke Cage of the 616 universe is not dead too?
That is very true. That might be a wait and see at this point. They could have filled in the last six pages of the book, but they decided to make them giant event advertisements. So for now, we don't know anything.
I think Red She-Hulk is officially dead, though. I think because her book ended too, or is ending with this next issue.
Her book.
So yeah. I think her death in Age of Ultron is canonical.
Yeah, most likely. And I couldn't be happy, because what a pointless character.
See, I didn't mind. I'm not saying I liked it. I'm saying I didn't mind Red She-Hulk.
No, I don't mind it either. But what purpose did Red She-Hulk serve in the 616 other than existing?
That's pretty much it. They kind of fell flat with it, though, where like with Red Hulk and regular Hulk, they made them, you know, polar opposites. Basically, they made Red She-Hulk She-Hulk with bigger boobs and red.
It's like Liefeld drew it.
Oh, don't get me started on Liefeld. We actually had a pretty detailed conversation about Liefeld last week on the show.
Devoting more than 10 seconds of airtime to that man is too much.
Oh, I had blown my co-host's mind last week because he wasn't sure why I had such rage towards him, and I showed him Captain America. This is why I have rage.
I actually saw that version of Captain America on a guy's tattoo.
Oh man!
And I just couldn't. Everybody's like, "Oh, dude, what a nice tattoo!" And I'm looking at him like, "You son of a bitch."
Of all the caps you chose his. Fuck you.
Terrible. But no, Age of Ultron devolved into such ridiculousness, and Ultron was dispatched in the most cliche way possible, and two issues were filler. It's like, what happened? Why? Who dropped the ball this badly? How do you have filler in your event comics?
See, but the thing is, and you know, I could be wrong in this, and it definitely would not be the first time. I'm wondering if that is wider stretching than it actually, like, if it actually served more of a purpose than we think it did.
You mean the whole Morgana Le Fay thing that I'm calling filler?
Yes.
It's entirely possible. We're not going to really know until we see Avengers AI number one and things like that. But it's kind of like, if you don't tell us, we don't know. And then the things you do tell us about in the last six pages of your comic that are giant advertisements, it's kind of pissing us off, because what the hell? We don't have a complete story. You're using an event to tie in other events to create new events.
Okay. This is the frustration I had on, I think it was the first full show I did of this, where I was really bitching about the Rise of the Third Army book, which immediately, the ending of the Rise of the Third Army Green Lantern book made the Wrath of the First Lantern book. And it did exactly the same thing. It took everything that we've been working towards with the Rise of the Third Army, blew it up, and then boom, here's next bit bad. There was no resolution until the end of the Rise of the Third Lantern, or Rise of the First Lantern book.
Right.
Like, that is what you are explaining, exactly my frustration. And I had it with this book, too, that I had with, you know, that book. The difference between that book and this book is tying together multiverses.
And that is really cool if done correctly. But it was not done correctly. It seemed rushed. It seemed hurried. Galactus was just thrown in at the end. The Morgana Le Fay Defenders universe. We don't really know the context of it. If this was done correctly, it would have been one of the best events I've ever read. But it goes down ultimately more pointless than Death of the Family.
You know, the Death of the Family happened two issues after the Death of the Family ended.
Well, not technically. I mean, Bruce's quote-unquote family doesn't trust him, and yeah, I get it, but really?
Yeah. Never mind. I'm done with Age of Ultron. I'm excited to see with Avengers AI, what they're going to do with that. But yeah, I think both of us are ready to sweep this under the rug.
I will say that I did pick up Age of Ultron 10 AI, the whole Hank Pym one, and that was pretty cool. But just, it didn't save it for me.
I had not picked that one up yet. I probably won't. So now you have a thing where you are starting to bitch about event comics, and I throw out that, say, DC, which is leading up to its next big event but has not had one for a couple months now, has felt just very flat.
Well, I mean, look at Rot World. Rot World was nothing special. Death of the Family dropped the ball because they had to compensate Grant Morrison and what he was doing. I think Trinity War might be pretty damn awesome. Trinity of Sin Pandora 1 comes out tomorrow, and that's going to tie into the whole Trinity War aspect. But I'm not reading Justice League Dark, so I'm already going to be a little...
Oh, dude, you are missing a really good book, actually. Justice League Dark is by far my favorite Justice League book.
I'm loving Justice League of America. It's been killer so far with the exception of the last issue, kind of pissed me off a little bit, but I'm a nerd. I get angry over anything.
Amanda Waller, like, the new 52 Amanda Waller is a cunt, man.
She is. And that's...
she is dark as hell, and I like it. Like, she's the kind of villain that is really, that you don't want, but you need.
Exactly. And I really want to see more of that side of Amanda Waller. Like my, one of my favorite couple panels in the new 52 has been Harley sitting down in the last issue of Suicide Squad and trying to psychoanalyze Amanda Waller, and just the look on Waller's face, like, seriously, bitch, you're doing this to me right now. Just perfect.
Oh yeah. And see, towards the end of, before Flashpoint, the couple times that you saw Amanda Waller, because she became a, like, moot point, she started becoming, like, fluffy. She wasn't the dark, wrathful mastermind anymore.
And I didn't like that at all.
She was, and this is a problem that I have with Sergeant Lee of the Red Hulk, Lee, maybe, Thunderbolt. He used to be a really great villain, but he's starting to become squishy again. And
that's one of many reasons I dropped Thunderbolts.
And that's exactly it. And I picked up this last issue, and I think I'm done. Like, he's not the mastermind that I wanted him to be. And I like that Waller, who arguably was, you know, Thunderbolt's DC equivalent or vice versa, I like what they're doing with her.
Well, the best Waller, in my opinion, this is very close, but the best Waller, in my opinion, isn't even comic related. The Waller that we saw in the Beyond universe, Batman Beyond.
Yes.
My overall favorite Amanda Waller, and that's a high bar to reach, in my opinion, but they're doing it right now.
Yeah, and it, arguably, like, the Beyond universe is one of my favorite universes in general.
Finally, someone else.
I read them when I can remember to do them, and then, like, I'll go back and I'll buy a ton of them at a time. But it's just like, I love especially the Justice League one, where it's still Cal as Superman, and it's obviously a Cal who suffered through Kingdom Come.
Yes.
That Kal-El, and the fact that they keep Kingdom Come as a canon, and they don't ever directly announce it, but it's just the way that you can tell he acts. It is very obvious that Kingdom Come happened, and he has survived it, and he is dealing with the repercussions of how he acted.
And it's rare in comics today, hell, even in comics past, that you see a pained, hurt Kal-El. And that is why I love the Beyond universe. That's why I love the, I guess you can call it the Injustice verse, because we don't see a lot of that emotional range out of Kal-El. And this has been fantastic on both fronts to say.
Yeah. I jokingly state that I like the Kal-El of a webcomic called Jail 8 than the New 52. Kal-El.
I think the New 52 Kal-El still has a while to go, and as soon as we get Lobdell off Action Comics, ugh, we're going to see more packs taken over, and we already have Superman Batman number one, which was fantastic.
Amazing.
With Scott Snyder was good too. So this being the 75th anniversary of Superman, they will be evolving the character, and you can already see the seed starting to lay down, and it's going to be great to read.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm not a huge fan of the Action Comics, and I think it's Detective Comics. The
art on Detective makes me want to punch myself in the face.
Like I get my Bat titles mixed up every once in a while. That's the older Batman, not older age, but like younger Batman, right?
Yes and no.
Pre-Justice League Batman?
Yes. You can put it that way, because right now they are doing a 0 year. In the regular events, taking place around the same time, but...
I wish they would stop that.
Go going to be fantastic. Mark my words.
It has to do better than what this last one did, because I'm just like, I don't want to deal with that. Like, but... What?
What last one?
The last, well, the first, the 0 year.
I like the first issue. I thought it was a very unique perspective. You know, you have Bruce's uncle coming and, you know, him looking around Wayne Enterprises like, I don't want to do this. I thought that was really awesome.
What really pisses me off in Detective Comics is this is not a book that I've actually picked up in a while, but it's one of those books that I piss off my local comic book store by going and reading and putting back. And so, like, they've done, like, the Mad Hatter for, like, the last 6 months. I'm so tired of the fucking Mad Hatter.
No, I picked up the first issue of the Mad Hatter arc, and I was like, yeah, nope. I mean, I jump in every time they start a new arc to say, maybe this will be the one that hooks me. And it never, ever happens. And then I think in the Detective, we're going to have the Joker's daughter for Villain Month coming out. And yeah. I'm just like, why are you doing this to me? Why is Jewel Dent coming back into continuity?
Because why not?
Because that's the whole point of having a new 52. Why? No.
Well, I mean, in the same thing, it gives you a chance to bring back characters that may have been forgotten and then kill them off again, like Sword of Sorcery, which was fucking amazing, and then they killed it.
Well, you know, books suffer. You know, sometimes they don't get the sales. I mean, look at Swamp Thing. I mean, look at, what was another one? Dial H.
Ugh, no, I'm so fucking glad they killed Dial H. Oh, my God.
Well, I'm happy they killed Dial H, because to me, if they didn't, we wouldn't have new books like The Movement. So, I'm happy with that.
Oh, my God.
Now they can just kill the Green Day.
Oh, yeah, dude. Did you finally pick that up?
I did. I read it, and I was like, okay, this isn't for me. And I just, you know.
I'm glad you finally saw, like, you and I had a pretty detailed conversation about how the Green Team was bad, and it's bad.
When they were hyping their solicitations, they made it seem like it was going to tie in with the Movement. Like, they were two things existing in the same universe. And I was like, okay, that'll be cool. And then when it finally came about, and I finally got around to picking up the Green Team, I'm like, what the hell is this nonsense you're trying to sell me? And I was like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind a crossover of the two if the Green Team title is killed.
Yes.
See, the thing that I like about the Movement is not only is it Gail Simone, and I love Gail Simone. Like, I will read anything Gail Simone's name is on.
Yes, I agree with you.
It feels very Runaways to me and The Boys. It feels like of course, it's lighter than The Boys, but
yes.
It has that same, like, despairing feeling of both what the Runaways had and the Boys had, and I love that.
Yes, the Movement hooked me from the fourth page of the first issue. I was like, yep, Gail Simone's knocking out of the park again, and I instantly called my comic book shop, and I said, add this to my weekly pull. I'm buying it every month.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately.
Oh, yeah, I have it on my Comixology list, and every time it's like, yoink, 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 yoink. Give me more. Why can't I have more?
With the way DC's been hemorrhaging writers, they should have doing more books if she can handle it.
Yeah, and
I would love to see her take on, for example, Action.
See, I think I would rather see Gail Simone has always done a very good female protagonist, and always a good male protagonist. Fantastic female, good male. So I would like to see her maybe on JLA. Maybe her on JLA would make me like it more, because the only character I like in JLA is Stargirl.
I love Stargirl. I love how they're representing John.
Vibe and Stargirl.
Why does Vibe even flippin' exist?
They actually wrote Vibe into the necessity of the new 52 pretty well. I hate the fact that they called the Mexican guy the Border Patrol. That is my biggest problem with that, is not five pages into the Vibe comic, oh, basically I'm interdimensional Border Patrol. And I'm like, really? Really?
Well, Vibe in a character, always.
Yeah, I know, but it's just as bad as making their new
if you look
Muslim a terrorist. That bothers me.
This version of Vibe is an improvement. You have to keep in mind, last time Vibe was around, he was bringing white friends home to impress his parents so that they wouldn't think he's out being a superhero at night, and they would think he's not, you know, he was trying to conceal his secret identity. So he brought home a white friend so his parents would get off his case and not be like, oh, well, you're out hanging with those gangbangers all night. So Vibe's always been a pretty racist book. It's a guy that used to fucking break dance. So, and I don't even want Vibe to do this.
Yeah, but that's why I like, I mean, I don't mind the new Vibe.
I don't don't care about them either,
though. Well, that's kind of my issue with, like, okay, we'll take another character that has their own book now, Katana. I love Katana's new book. I love it. I hate Katana of JLA.
I can't do Katana at all.
Why?
I can't. I tried her new book, the first issue, feeling okay. And as I read the second and third, I'm like, all right, what am I doing here? I don't like this book. And I dropped it.
Well,
I have a 3-book limit, and it really sinks me in.
That is my limit as well with books. Except, like, they changed the artist on Katana in the last book, and I think they changed it for the better. Because instead of, like, say, a art style that looks like Dark Horse's Akanero, where it's very, like, old-school Japanese art, they changed it to where it's more of a Neo Tokyo kind of art.
Maybe I'll take a look at it. I mean, I wasn't impressed. I came away, I wasn't angry at the book. I did not like the book. I looked at all the books that were coming up and said, which books can I drop? And Katana was at the top of that list.
And that's fair enough. And it still is still kind of a, it's still kind of a acquired taste, I'd say. I loved the character in Birds of Prey. And that's the reason why I'm like, I don't want to give up this book. Eventually I will if I need to, but I don't want to.
Well, that's how I felt about Talon, and then I dropped Talon.
Oh, Talon got bad. Like, it's really bad now.
Yeah, and I still like the character. You know, Snyder is still great, but Talon's just not doing it for me.
Yeah, it took a real big shit in the last couple of issues. Like, after he found Sebastian Clark as a bad guy, and they introduced Bane into the Talon book, because we need Bane. Bane's in a new movie. Where can we put Bane in? Shoehorn him somewhere.
Yeah, Bane never felt right, and I was just like, all right then.
Well, they killed Calvin, and they resurrected him as a real Talon, so they're still trying to give him a human edge of, like, the old Calvin, but it's just not working.
It's not. I think the book, honestly, would do great under new creative direction, or less DC editorial management, like, interfering, because that seems to be DC's problem as of late. So we really don't know why the book is suffering, but a change is definitely needed on one of those two fronts.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt in my mind about that one.
Well, let me ask you this. There's a lot of books coming out new. What are you looking forward to?
I'm kind of jaded about a lot of the books. Like, this last wave of cancellations has really bit me. Like, this last wave of cancellations I was really angry about. Like, Legion being canceled and Deathstroke being canceled when it finally starts getting good after freaking Shit for Brains gets taken off of it. The book I was most excited about was Bat Soup.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously The Movement.
Yeah.
Trying to think.
No, was a Spider-Man for you?
No. I'm interested in Superior Carnage. Carnage is one of my favorite villains, if done right.
Yes. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to Superior Foes of Spider-Man. What else am I looking forward to? Just about everything I want, this with the exception of those two, is out already. I mean, I picked up The Week and that was fantastic. And that's basically it. I mean, East of West isn't new anymore. That's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
And some of the 10 grand. But yeah, that's really it for now, until the rest of the Superior. Now what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to all of them. I love this Superior Spider-Man universe that they've created.
Yeah. I think that is a entire show to itself. But on that note, I'm going to go ahead and cut two commercials, and it'll only be a couple of minutes. And on the other side, we're going to focus on our books and do some reviews. Stay tuned.
All right.
This Geek.io Network podcast is brought to you in part by... This Geek.io Network podcast is brought to you in part by...
What's going on?
Tweaked Audio. They've got 7 great styles. They've got 7 great colors. Well, technically 6. And then they have wood. I don't call that a color. Maybe you do. Mic'd and non-mic'd versions. They're designed to sound great for music and talk, like podcasts. Engineered for durability. They've got a noise-reducing design, compatible with iPods, iPhones, Android devices, and all MP3 players and most phones. Don't forget you get 1/3 off of your order. That's right. You get 30% off. Just use the discount code GEEK. Oh, and one more thing. They've got free shipping. Find them at www.geek-io.com/tweaked. And by Squarespace, the best place to find e-commerce, content management, and website hosting all in one place with some of the lowest prices around. To start your free trial today, go to www.geek-io.com/squarespace. This
and we're back.
We're back.
I don't know why the hell my soundboard decided to start going crazy like that.
All right.
All right, so I want to review the book that I met, kind of tugged at the beginning of the show, which was a book that I didn't pick up since the first issue because I hate this entire group, but New Avengers number 7. For those wondering, it's not really a New Avengers title. It's an Illuminati book, but they can't call it the Illuminati, so they had to call it something. So New Avengers were born. For those who don't know, the New Avengers consists of Mr. Fantastic, Iron Man, Black Panther, Doctor Strange, formerly Professor X, rest in peace. I'm surprised he's not resurrected yet. And freaking Aquaman of Marvel, Namor.
Namor came first.
I don't care. Namor was never hysterically portrayed and therefore not as loved. So they have their own book now, which is obviously kind of leaning up towards the Galactus books. It is very much so spinning towards the Galactus books because you're dealing with Galactus-level threats, almost destroying Latveria. Dr. Doom is pissed off. And the thing that I don't like about this book – well, there's a bunch of things I don't really care for about this book – is they portray Dr. Doom as just a megalomaniacal pussy. Like he's basically just throwing a hissy fit that Latveria was attacked by aliens. What I love about this book is they actually address what the other characters are doing in the universes. Dr. Doom flat out calls out Mr. Fantastic in, you know, I thought you were traveling around multiverses with your families. How are you here? And Richards goes, some people sleep at night. Some people watch those people. They address Tony and his new Guardians role. They address Professor X is deaf, and they address that Beast is trying to resurrect him. And also the finality of the Wakandan-Atlantis conflict, which has been pretty much a moot point and also just kind of in a backdrop of several different Avengers comics. And they kind of like – I feel they did that because, well, Black Panther's nowhere else. What are we doing with him? But all in all, I think it's a decent book. One thing I love about Marvel in general is that previously on page that really catches you up to what the hell is going on. And because I picked up 1 and 2 and then now 7, but I knew what was going on.
Personally, if I can interject,
yes.
I am a huge fan of the way New Avengers works and how it has everything set up. I love that you have these roundtable discussions with all of these characters that aren't exactly the biggest fans of each other. Like you have Namor sitting there talking to Black Panther and they clash. And at the end of the day, they still managed to get shit done, like when they were in Latveria. And so like when they were sitting there with Dr. Doom and Dr. Doom's like, you know, what the hell was this? How did you guys stop this? Why are you guys in Latveria? And they basically just shut him out. I think the tension that the book creates is what does it for me. I am a huge fan. I cannot wait to see where this series goes in the future because it's leading up to something really, really badass. I can tell.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. It's tying directly into, and it's pretty obvious for those who follow Marvel that it's very obviously tying into Galactus.
Yes.
And the weirdness that is creating Galactus's new arrival, because this is not Silver Surfer coming and addressing everything. This is a new type of way, at least as far as I can remember, that they're introducing Galactus.
And I'm such a big fan of the way they're going about it. Like, you're going to have Galactus in the Ultimates universe. You know, that's obviously going to tie over into the 616. And for once in comics, we really don't know what's going to happen. And that, to me, is a major thing. That is why I'm following the Avengers the way I am.
Yeah, because Marvel has kept a surprisingly good tie on all of their upcoming things, except for the fact that they're giving Spider-Man a sister.
I don't want to talk about that.
Which I find is a weird thing for them to announce. Like, hey, we're giving Spider-Man a sister. Why? We don't know. But the fact that they're making it a big deal makes me wonder why it's such a big deal that Spider-Man's getting a sister. Because, like, normally it wouldn't be a big deal. Introducing family members happens all the time.
Exactly.
So why is it a big press conference and whoop-de-doo that Peter Parker's having a sister?
If she's going to be Sister Spider and she's going to have her own book.
I would not mind a reinvention of Madam Web.
We have enough web crawlers right now.
Well, you're not a big fan of Venom, so.
I'm not a fan of Venom. I've become disenfranchised with the character as of late, that's all.
And that's fair enough. I mean, I'm still loving that book, especially its last arc with Toxic, which is Eddie Brock. I'm really digging that book. I'm actually, of all the Spider books, Superior is actually my least favorite, but that's like...
Are you high?
That's like me saying that... That's like saying I like this chocolate cupcake the least out of all the chocolate cupcakes.
I think Superior is the best book currently in any Marvel title.
But anyway, speaking of the New Avengers, I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10. It's good. It's good, and it's worth picking up, and it's even worth picking up the entire set. I mean, it's only 7 books. It'll probably be ending soon with the introduction of Galactus, and also the obvious tying up of the current Fantastic Four arc, which I'm anticipating because I can't stand the new FF. It's a good book. It's definitely worth a pickup. The art is great. Namor really draws my attention whenever he's on panel.
Namor's been such a badass as of late.
Oh yeah, dude. I'm really digging the current iteration of Namor.
Yeah. Now, here we go. Here's a question. Current Namor or current Aquaman? Which is more badass?
I'd say current Aquaman.
Yeah.
Namor does have the ability to actually be a badass out of water, but, like, just being what they are as in Kings of Atlantis, current Aquaman is fucking awesome. I'm trying to convince people to read that and not be jaded by, you know, Super Friends. I'm like, no, this is not Super Friends. This is Superman in the water, but awesomer.
What did it for me with Aquaman was I picked up the first Justice League trade paperback out of the New 52 because I wasn't reading it. I just wasn't beat for it at the time for whatever reason. And the way Geoff Johns just turned him into such a beast in that book, I was just like, now I have to go and read Aquaman, and it's been a phenomenal ride.
Because basically, I mean, what they've done with Aquaman is while he's in the water, even while he has a pinky toe in the water, he's basically Thor.
Yep.
He's not even Superman. He's Thor.
And I love it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I love it. And he has now.
Yeah, oh yeah. And of course, Mira is, wow. So yeah, that is my pick, Aquaman. Don't get me wrong, Namor is awesome, but Aquaman is kicking his ass right now.
I would have never thought we'd have this conversation and pick Aquaman
if you'd asked me. You know, even an issue of pre-New 52, like just like an issue of Flashpoint, you know, I would have said, you know, Aquaman's still a pussy with soggy bottoms.
Yeah. We get sidetracked way too easy. I'm sorry.
No, it's no problem. All right. So what book are you going to review?
It's only the first issue, but I'm going to go with my favorite Lantern of all, Larfleeze. I am such a huge fan of Larfleeze. I was so happy when he got his new book. And when I picked it up, I had the highest of expectations for it. I wanted it to be hilarious. I wanted so much out of this book. My only complaint is the art. I feel it can be better. I feel the space scenes aren't fantastical enough. I feel it's still too a little more grounded in reality, which is not what I want out of my Lantern series.
Yeah.
The first issue just had me laughing hysterically. You have Larfleeze and his little butler sitting there, and the Power Lantern only has 5%, and Larfleeze is about to die, and he decides to launch into his flippin' origin story to his butler, who's heard different variations of it so many times. And as you have Larfleeze telling the story, in the panels, you're seeing something completely different than what he's describing. He's describing how he was loved as a child and treated as a king, and you just see his brothers and sisters pummeling the shit out of him, and I just could not stop laughing. I have not laughed that hard in the book in such a long time. It's better than the current iteration of Deadpool, which I love. The new Deadpool is fantastic, but the first issue of Larfleeze made me laugh that much more.
You are high, sir.
Look, I have the first issue of the new Deadpool signed by Brian Posen himself, okay? I have, issue 6 signed by Fabian Nicias. I love Deadpool, but Larfleeze has a definite future in DC Comics for being the funniest book on the market. And if it continues at this pace, it's going to be a bestseller.
You are...
I would give the first issue an 8.
8, all right. See, the main thing that I have with the issue is not necessarily the context, because yes, they're part, and it definitely has a Deadpool vibe. Not as funny as Deadpool, not even as absurd as Deadpool, except for in parts. The biggest thing that got a laugh out of me was how much of that is true, sir? I don't know. Half.
Yes, it's like Larfleeze honestly doesn't give a shit. He knows he's spinning a fantastical yarn that makes absolutely no sense when you attempt to dissect it, but he's so in love with the sound of his own voice that it's just phenomenal.
The art is a real turnoff for me in that book, and it was the same, and like, I think it's the same artist that they had doing the art in the back issue of Threshold, which yes. I'm sad is dead too. I wasn't a fan of that. I'm a fan of how Larfleeze looked in, say, Blackest Night.
Yes.
That is my biggest turnoff, is just, and I think that's what's keeping me from enjoying the comic, is I'm not liking that art.
See, and I agree with you, and that's why I only gave it an 8, and before you say anything, let me explain. I think the writing was top-notch, 100% all the way, straight from the jump, had me cracking up. If the art was better, I would have gave it a 10 out of 10, which to me doesn't mean it's perfect, means that it's exactly what I want it to be, and it's fantastic. It would have been fantastic if it was not for that art. I hope it gets better over time, but I will power through this series no matter how bad the art is. They can draw stick figures, and I will continue to laugh my ass off.
And I'm definitely going to, I'm definitely going to pick up issue 2 and at least 3. I think the only book of the new 52 that I'm not making 3 books of the new stuff is, Green Team. I'm done with that one, but yeah. I'll definitely pick it up. And like I said, it had me laughing, but not nearly as much as Deadpool. And if we're using Larfleeze as the current Deadpool, you know, equivalent, it falls flat.
Well, for everybody out there that may not be familiar with Larfleeze and are familiar with Deadpool, you're not going to get a lot of Larfleeze breaking the fourth wall in this book, at least not yet. I wouldn't be surprised if it happens on occasion, but I prefer it that way. I prefer this iteration of Larfleeze, which contextually wise is not that much different, but you can tell he kind of knows he's the star here, and why he's going on these tangents. And I think we're going to be in for, you know who I want to see? I want to see Lex Luthor in this book.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, he is the only other official Orange Lantern.
What book was it? Was it Superman the Black Ring that we saw Larfleeze and Lex Luthor interact again after the events where he was where Lex Luthor was an Orange Lantern?
I think
that
so.
Had me cracking up so bad, because you see Lex trying to use his cunning and just be typical Lex Luthor, and it's like Larfleeze is too stupid to intimidate or twist around, and it was just great.
I would eventually like to know Larfleeze's actual backstory, because I don't remember them going into detail about how he got the orange ring. If they did, I didn't pay attention.
You mean the actual canonical background of Larfleeze and that orange lantern ring?
Yeah.
Shit. I can only think of what I read in the most recent issue, which pisses me off, because before that we were on such a drought for Larfleeze. I want to say the book hit pretty close to home in that aspect, but I know there was some differences. I think he was alone when he first encountered the orange ring the first time around. Yeah. And I think there was a... I'm drawing a blank, but I don't recall there being that many people as we saw in the first issue.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested to see where it goes, you know, and I doubt I'll drop it, because I'm a sucker for freaking Lantern books. For some reason, that entire universe has had me, like, captivated for almost over a decade now. Like,
well, that's the entire time of Jeff Johns' run.
Yeah, that's exactly it. As of Rebirth, I have been reading Green Lantern books consistently, and I almost dropped the base Green Lantern book after fucking Third Army. The only reason why I didn't is because I was losing context and the rest of the people that were the rest of the first Lantern books, and that whole thing made me interested in reading it again. And I picked up the penultimate and the ultimate, the issues of the Wrath of of the first Lantern books, and I actually enjoyed it again. So, you know, and if there's one series of books that I will continuously read, it is anything with the word Lantern in it.
That's where I differ. I don't like what they're doing to, again, I'm so hung up on DC's editorial staff. I don't like that they forced out the writer of Red Lanterns with the name I cannot fucking pronounce. I'm sorry, I can't speak Russian. And I like
the possibilities of the Red Lantern book.
I do too, and I don't think, how do I word this properly? I have a feeling now, without Geoff Johns, that things are going to change for the worse. I mean, the Lantern books have kind of survived the new 52 shakeup, as I like to call it, where you have people jumping around back and forth and
yeah.
things lost in continuity. I have a feeling the Lanterns are about to go through that in a big way, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to survive that.
Well, the problem, and this is kind of an issue with the Lantern books in general, is they didn't do a reboot for the Lantern books.
And I love it.
But yet, in the same token, they did. Like, somehow, freaking Hal Jordan is both simultaneously rebooted and not rebooted.
Well, yeah, they put out his Secret Origin book and all of that nonsense. And, I mean, I'm okay with that.
Well, not only that, he was in the Justice League, which was obviously a rebooted Hal Jordan.
I'm okay with it. I'm willing to look past that because continuity for me is not the most important thing. It's the storytelling. But once we lose the continuity that we currently have with the Lanterns, Hal Jordan excluded, the books will suffer in a major way. I don't think a DC editorial is prepared to handle the emotional spectrum of all the Lanterns.
I think so as well, especially with, you know, with their full aim. I don't think that the Green Lantern flagship title is going to do real great from here on in. I think now that, because I mean, instantly, you can tell the difference that of how Hal Jordan reacts. Hal Jordan yep. was, you know, Hal Jordan was Hal Jordan, and then Geoff Johns left, and now he's unsure of himself.
Shell.
I mean, he is a shell. I mean, legitimately, where they put him is kind of a complete and total, you know, Hal Jordan is not used to having responsibility. And now he has the entire fucking universe on his back.
I'm curious to see where it goes, but at the same time, I'm very, very worried.
I'm suddenly, after this last issue of Red Lanterns, I am really intrigued on where freaking Guy Gardner is going for the first time in 10 years. I actually give a shit about Guy Gardner.
I'm interested to see how it plays out. I have no idea. Again, I love not knowing what's going on with comics, but I do think that we can... How do I put this? You know what? I'm not even going to speculate. I have no idea where the hell he's going to end up.
All right. Exactly. And on that note, I'm really excited on seeing where we're going to go. But on that note, we're going to go ahead and get on out of here.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. You know, if you would actually accept my offer to do this full time with me, we could do this more often.
Well, I wanted to get the first episode out of the way first and see how things ebb and flow. And I think we can do this.
Yeah, it'll be interesting with, you know, as we bring in John back in, because John is so totally not a big comic reader. It'll be interesting to see his reactions when we start getting into things like this.
Oh, before we sign off,
okay.
I do want to say that I will quit reading DC Comics if they revive Damian Wayne.
Okay, here's my theory on the thing, really quick, is they are going to revive Damian Wayne in the Trinity War, and they are also going to revive Professor X at the same time. Those two are going to come back because you have to.
You don't have to bring that. You know what? Next week. Next week we're going into this.
All right, folks. So you can reach the show at feedback@geek-io.com. Make sure you use the word comic somewhere in the subject line. I want to thank our amazing cover artist, Dale Shaler, for the art that we have on the site when it occasionally shows up on iTunes. Thank you, iTunes. If you want some work done, send us a line. We'll get you hooked up. Go to the site comic.geek-io.com or just geek-io.com for everything Geek.io, including our stuff, how it stacks, the amazingly awesome Disney Geek IO show, which needs to be re-recorded, the Chef Wonder podcasts, and everything else. You can look at our show calendar for the details. We also have an iTunes feed and also a Geek IO master feed. Both of those information, all of that information can be found at geek-io.com. So, now that that is under, we have a show under our belt. Maybe I can get iTunes to agree with me to play the damn song correctly. Anything else that you could think of while I am pulling up the outro music?
I would like to at least shout out my own programs that I am on. I'm the host of Retro Collective Podcast. We just finished episode 5. And for those of you that are interested in retro video games, I am a full-time video game collector, as is my co-host Jerry. We run the Retro Collective along with 3 other guys. And episode 5 had a really awesome guest on there. And I'm also part of the AWPA WOD Podcast, Gears Weekly Podcast. And we're on episode 35 of that. So check us out, awpa.co.
All right. So on that note, folks, thank you for joining us for this really random, suddenly done show. We'll find out a more detailed schedule as we go along. I'm going to consider this now the Comic Geek IO now. Now!
New 52 Geek IO.
Oh, no, there's no renumbering. So it's just Comic Geek IO now. All right, folks. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to a...
That's not playing. My bad. Bye.
There's your outro.
You have been listening to a part of the Geek.io Podcast Network.
Loud noises!
Copyright 2013.
Visit us at geek-io.com for all of our great shows.
The pressure is building slowly, inexorably inside me. Oh my.
Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's bad for you. Go figure out how it works.
I want to get out of here. I want to leave this place right now.